Good morning. Were you waiting for me? Suppose that's important. If I'm worship leading, I should be here. I'm going to change things up just a little bit in the order of service today. First of all, I'd like to welcome you all here this morning. Are there any guests that need to be announced? No guests. It's a little early in the year to have visitors from afar come for summer vacations and such. So when they do come, make sure that they know that they are very much welcome in our services on Sunday mornings. A couple of business announcements in the bulletin. And under the What's Happening at NKMC, the caregiving team will be holding a communion service at Bethania this afternoon at 2:30. Willing helpers are invited to Bethania on June the 1st to participate in the last program of the season. A little bit of a sad note, and the community kitchen, after 14 years, will be running its last event, I guess is the right word for it, on June the 7th. Lots of great work that's been done by those volunteers over the years. And lastly, John and Heidi Schrader would like to invite their church family to join them for an informal celebration of their 65th anniversary. Isn't that amazing? The actual wedding date is on June the 17th, and so you're all welcome to join them at 7 p.m. in the lower auditorium. Chris.
This isn't in the bulletin, but this Wednesday we are having a photo scavenger hunt with the youth. It's a joint event with Springfield Heights and Jubilee, starting at 6:30. We're meeting here, and then we're going to be going to Jubilee from there. So hope to see everyone out. Thanks.
Thanks, Chris. Now, I don't know about you, but I've had a very busy week. Dog head surgery, talking to my daughter on text, working very busy week. So in preparation for the remainder of the service, I'd like you to just take a few moments of silent prayer just to prepare yourselves for coming to God. Amen. For our call to worship this morning, I'll be reading Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon leap like a calf, Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forests bare. And in his temple all cry, glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. Our opening song this morning is Days of Elijah.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sore, still your voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. These are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding the temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, the fields are as white in love, and we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. Lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes.
At this time, in your bulletin, there's a few prayer requests. Continue to keep Erica Cron and her family in your prayers as she begins her recovery from shoulder surgery. Also, Louise Lage and her family, please keep them in your prayers as she continues in her recovery. Our anniversary wishes, again, Neil and Anita Casper on 65 years, and Ingo and Ursula Zapp on 50th, coming up this week. So isn't that amazing? Are there any other prayer requests or anybody that would like to do some sharing this morning? If not, if you would bow your head in prayer, please. O holy God, like Isaiah the prophet, we stand in awe of your glory, feeling tremendously small and polluted by our sin and the sin of our society. Even so, you touch us with your burning presence, and we are made clean and whole. Our God, our Creator, continue to build this household of faith into what you want us to be. O Christ, our Savior, lead us to do as you will. O Spirit, our power, strengthen us for the work of the kingdom, a worship and a service which is ours today as well as tomorrow. O Blessed Trinity, fill this place and these people with your presence. Please keep and know that we have people in our congregation that are in need of your help, your guiding hand over them as they heal from both physical, mental, and other emotional problems that they are going through. We especially lift up Erica Cron and Louise Lage in our minds and in our hearts. Please keep the people in our personal care homes in our hearts and in our service to them. We do thank you for the work that the committee at Community Kitchen has done throughout the years. For yours is the power and the salvation and the creation, now and always. Amen. So we have a couple of songs in a row here. This is definitely a praise song. Yeah, thanks. If you wish to stand, please do.
Your love is amazing, steady and unchanging. Your love is a mountain firm beneath my feet. Your love is a mystery, how you gently lift me. When I am surrounded, your love carries me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Your love is surprising. I can feel it rising. All the joy that's growing deep inside of me. Every time I see you, all your goodness shines through, and I can feel this God's song rising up in me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, you make me sing, sing, sing. How you make me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Take my life.
Holiness, holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. Holiness, holiness is what you want from me. So take my heart.
All right. If the children would come forward, we have a story for you. Or Ingrid White has a story for you.
How are you this morning? Okay. We're doing Old Testament. Pastor Gary tells me Old Testament's awesome. But I have a hard time sometimes with some of the stories that I read. I don't really understand them. And then I have to explain them to you. So I thought a lot. Pastor Gary is, or somebody is going to read today from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 8, I think. I won't read it because it's kind of hard to understand. But what I got out of it is Isaiah ends up in a place where he sees God. And there's seraphim around him. And when Isaiah sees God, he gets really, really scared because he realizes God is so awesome and he is not. So I'm kind of, while I was sitting here thinking, when you're at school and you do something that you're really not supposed to do and your teacher says, if you keep doing that, I have to phone your mom. What happens in your stomach? Does it go, ah? Yeah. And you realize, I'm not really doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And, oh. And then the teacher comes and says, if you stop, I won't have to phone your mom. And you go, okay, I want to be really good so that I don't have to phone mom, right? Is that what happens? That's what happened to me. If somebody ever said, I'm going to phone your mom, I lined up, right? And I kind of think this is maybe what was happening to Isaiah when he was seeing God. He was going, oh, that's big and scary, and I really want to do the right thing. So, God is awesome, right? Right? And when we see God and realize that, then we understand that we need to be forgiven. Doesn't matter what. When we see God, it makes us realize we need to be forgiven. And he forgives us, right? Just like if I do have to phone your mom, will she say she's disappointed? And will she throw you out of the house? Will she still let you stay and love you and help you figure out how to fix the problem we had? Rhea's shaking her head no. Yes, of course. So God forgives us, and because we're forgiven, we want to do the right thing and show other people how awesome God is. So that's kind of what's going to be happening in church. We've already heard kind of some of that with the songs that we were singing today. The first one was, God's amazing. And now the song we just sang was that we want to be what God wants to be, and that's great. Okay, can we bow for prayer? This time we're going to do it a little different. I'm going to say something you repeat, and then I'll say something and you repeat, okay? Dear Lord, dear Jesus, dear Holy Spirit, thank you for helping me in so many ways. Thank you that no matter what, I am a child of God. Amen. And now you go get to go sit with those lovely people in your family. No, Sunday school again. Have fun. Have fun.
I was going to say thank you to Ingrid, but then she left. As we take the collection this morning, we'll be singing 10,000 Reasons.
It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Worship His holy name. worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship Your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near. Time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship your holy name. Lord, I worship your holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name, worship your holy name, Lord, I worship your holy name.
For our scripture reading this morning, I'll be reading from Isaiah 6, 1-8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is filled with His glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord say, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am. Send me."
It's just bizarre. So this is where he worships, and you can just feel an incredible sense of awe as you walk into this place. Some of you have been in some of the amazing cathedrals around the world, some amazing ones in Europe, I understand, and you walk in there and just kind of stop in your tracks as you look around. It just creates that sense of you. Not only was there a sense of awe in God's presence for this beauty, but it was the ritual that went on. All these priests doing their different things, reading scripture and singing and chanting and sacrifices, and it was all orchestrated in such a way that the people sat there. all of this was couched in this. These were people who knew they were special. God had called them and they were his special people. He created the world, he called Abraham, took him out of Egypt. There was Pharaoh all haughty under the collar saying, I can do what I want. And God brings him out with those miracles that he does. Parts the Red Sea, out in the wilderness, you know, feeding them manna, which I understand are like frosted flakes. Kind of great, needs milk, but other than that, they're good. Quail or whatever. Water coming out of rocks. I mean, this is a pretty impressive stuff, right? Walk into the promised land, God says, oh, by the way, help yourself. The whole thing's yours. And all of their worship is couched in this history. And so we take a look at Isaiah, the prophet of God, right? He says, my goodness, this guy knows about worship. But then we start reading the text, and something really weird happens. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died. Now, King Uzziah was a nice guy. Kind of status quo going on. So people were, you know, taxes weren't too high. Fairly wealthy, everybody happy, saying, God must be blessing us. Amos and Hosea, who were prophets at the time, didn't think those, says, guys, you better smarten up because God's out to get you. But in the year King Uzziah died, it's a marker for him. It doesn't factor into the story. It's kind of like, you know, if something interesting happens the year that you finally bought a Ford, then you say, oh yeah, the year I bought a Ford, we had, our child was born, right? Equate the two. And so that's through Isaiah. So, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Now, oh, then it goes on to say about the seraphims, and they're flying around, they have six wings, and they cover their eyes, they cover their bodies or their feet, and they're flying and they're crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. And then, because of the sound of their singing, the pillars of the tent or the doorway shaking, and it's all filled with smoke, which is probably incense. So you take a look at that story, and you say, what is he saying? First of all, he says, I saw the Lord, but really he describes the edge of the clothes that a king would wear, right? He doesn't describe God. Because the Bible tells us nobody can see God in it. Even the angels, the seraphim, they're covering their faces because they can't look at God. In Exodus chapter 33, Moses is then a good servant of God, and he says to God, by the way, can I see you? And God says, I don't think you can handle that. Tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to put you in this in the rock here, in the cleft of the rock, I'm going to go by and essentially you're going to see my shadow. He says, that's all I get, I'll take it. So God walks by, he sees his shadow and his face glows for weeks, right? It's more than he can handle. Or in Exodus chapter 40, when they finally get the tabernacle put together, it's beautiful, they've got this, you know what the tabernacle is, it's like this portable worship place, right? Portable, but beautiful. And everything gets put together and it's wonderful, and then the glory of God fills this place. And it's just glowing. It's something special is going on. And people can't go in to see God. Once a year, the high priest goes into the Holy of Holies. That's it. God is beyond being seen. Point. It's coming. So the angels start crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Holy. What holy is talking about is, we think of holy as God's otherness. We think, well, holy means God is great and God is from somewhere else and God is other than us. But when you read through the text, holiness really refers to the ethical character of God. It says in back in Exodus 19 again, be holy as I am holy. And so God's holiness is seen in God's justice, God's naming sin because of his honesty, God's love and mercy and grace, God's forgiveness for us, God's longing for all of us to become His children. That's the holiness that we're talking about here. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with His glory. Now, glory is holiness shown. And so we see glory because the angels are singing around singing, holy, holy, holy. We see God's glory in nature as it reflects who God is. God longs for us to reflect His holiness so that we become the glory of God. Remember 2 weeks ago, we looked at John 17. And we talked about how we were created to glorify God. What that means is that people see God's holiness in us. That we live in the way that God calls us to live. So there's a sense of God being other than us. After they've sung this, they talk about how the doors of the temple shake. And the temple is filled with incense. And what I get from that is that all of our senses are taken up when we encounter God. Not just our eyes, but our ears and our smell, everything. It's kind of like Isaiah knew all about God, but he never encountered God. He knew all about the history of God's people, what God told His people to do, how to worship, but he'd never come face to face with God before. It was an intellectual thing, and now I'm not suggesting it's all emotional, but what it is it's all encompassing. Worship. And again, this is not a reflection of who we are. You are amazing people. This is just kind of what's going on inside. So easy for worship to become something we do. We know about God. We read our Bible. We come together. And it's wonderful. I mean, here we are supporting each other and most of the time talking about things that are applicable to our lives. And we sing the songs and we hear the stories. But it feels like we're doing something and we're not involved with something. It's like we know about God, but we're not encountering God. At least, I'm not always. And I look at this passage, and it's an invitation to encounter. We have spent so much time, the Christian church has, in the last 20 years, recreating God in our image. We say, we need God in a manageable way. Well, that makes sense, right? God came down in Jesus to be like us, Hebrews says, in every way. In Philippians 2, we reference that one often. It says that even though Jesus was God, He set that aside and came down to be with us. Wonderful. There's the connection point. But it's so easy to leave it there. And to say, God is my buddy. I know God and we've kind of got this thing worked out and it's all good. Jesus is supposed to be doing, but what he means to do is, you know that little peephole you've got in your door when you wanted to check if you want to answer or not? Oh no, not my neighbor again. Jesus is like that, and when we take a close look at who Jesus is, we have this huge view behind that, which is God, which is something larger than we can imagine. It fills all of our senses. It's about encounter, not knowing about God. It's about knowing God. So here's Isaiah, this man of God, this person of worship, Peter and Sam all put together, has this experience. It's like, for those of you who come from the prairies, the first time you see the mountains. Seeing the pictures, you know, you've got a calendar, yeah, every third picture is mountains. You've seen it on TV, but there's nothing like going there. You drive from Bath to Jasper, and just, you've got your eyes wide open and your mouth probably too. It's just phenomenal. When you experience it, when you encounter it, it's different. For the first time you go to the symphony, for the first time you stand beside a 100-floor skyscraper, don't know where that is, Dubai probably. And you look up, and it doesn't matter how many pictures you've seen on Google. This is different. This is different. That's what I'm talking about. We got the words, got the knowledge, and what this is doing is reaching out to grab us. Verse 5 to 8 is the response, and there's three things that happen. Isaiah did something, God did something, Isaiah did something. And what Isaiah does is when he sees God down on the ground on his face, it's a position of humility. Now, God doesn't say, hey, you mortal, down on your face, you will worship me. It just happens. Because what happens when we see God is we don't need a rule book. We see ourselves. When we see God in His holiness, we see that we are unholy. And that we fall short of the mark. Until we're down on our face. Now this is an interesting thing to me because a lot of my life I've been working at what I believe so I know the right thing and I can talk to people and say, that's right, that's wrong. And what the passage says is, bring them to God. God will sort it out. I don't need to know everything. Good thing. Bring it for you. He comes before God and life is clean. That's what being with God does. Down on our face. When we are ready to face God, we will face ourselves. The second thing that happens is we do. In this passage, it says an angel takes a coal from the altar and touches his lips as a symbol of being cleansed. The New Testament is a different symbol. That's Jesus coming down to die for our sins. And when we come to God, when we see God, we don't, just like God didn't say, repent already, you sinner. We just do. Because we know what's in us that's not right. We don't beg God, please, 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 please forgive me. When we come on our face and we say, woe is me, for I am undone, I've had it, I am toast, because I am a man of unclean lips, like a couple of people unclean. God's response is to hold out a hand. Back to the prodigal son. Sorry for always going there. I love that picture. It's the father when the son comes up and he starts his little speech. Oh, dear dad, I've just been a real jerk and I don't deserve a thing. And the father says, he gives him a hug and says, my son who is dead is home. That's what God is doing. God reaches out and forgives us because we know we need it. And God wants so badly for us to be his children. And the third thing that happens, that once we are forgiven, once we are sanctified, once we are holy, God says, I've got a job to do. I wonder what I'm going to do about that. Oh, 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 choose me. It's Isaiah. Once we've gone through that process, we long to be God's representatives in our world. We long to reach out because it's touched us so deeply. It's changed us. We have seen God. We have felt the purifying touch of His Spirit. And now, as children who have been chosen and drawn in, there's nothing more exciting than responding by participating in the building of God's kingdom. That's the story. This touched me, or this rattles me, maybe both, because I look at my own life, and sometimes it doesn't feel like my faith is an encounter. Sometimes it feels like my faith is known about, and the invitation is there. I'm not sure how exactly we get there. Do we call out, God, let me see you already? But I do know that when we are ready, God opens himself up because he longs for us to see him. And this isn't just a one-time thing. Yeah, I did that in 1946, so I guess I got that done, took a picture, all finished. Put it on my Facebook. Here's God. Reminds me of a child drawing a picture of God, and the teacher says, what are you doing? Drawing a picture of God. Well, nobody knows what God looks like. And he says, they will when I'm done. It's an encounter that keeps happening. We continue to encounter God as we go through our lives. We continue to need that touch of, on the lips to purify us. And we continue to get that energy to follow the way of God. My prayer for you, and I hope your prayer for me, is that we would be open to let God touch us, to experience the holiness of God, so that we might be.
In response, we will be singing, Here I Am, Lord. Take some of the words straight out of the passage from today. But if you, as you read the pieces in here, I see that both the psalm that we read earlier and the passage from Isaiah are represented very well in this song. So Carol is going to join us on the piano.
I'm the Lord of sea and sky. I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright, who will bear my light to them, whom shall I send? Our Lord, I have heard.
And now as we go into our busy lives for this coming week, I'd like you to keep the last line in your hearts. I will hold your people in my heart. Now if you would please stand for a closing song.
Over all the earth, you reign on high. Every mountain stream, every sunset sky. But my one request, Lord, my only aim, is that you reign in me again. Lord, reign in me, reign in your power. Over all my dreams, in my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again? Over every thought, over every word, may my life reflect the beauty of my Lord. To me than any earthly thing. So won't you reign in me again? Lord, reign in me, reign in your power. Over all my dreams, in my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again? Lord, reign in me, over all my dreams, in my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again?
Go in peace.